eschewing of evil. He was committed in this. And he lived this out day by day. And he wouldn't let things trip him up. He wouldn't let Satan discourage him or cause doubt in his life. But he continued in commitment and in consistency in this. Thus did Job continually. He continually prayed for his children. He continually offered these burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And then so it is that we don't understand how this would be, but Satan comes before the Lord, and the Lord answers, asks him, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." This is Satan's role, going to and fro and walking up and down in the earth. For what reason? Jesus points that out. But for to kill, to steal, and destroy. This is what Satan goes about through the earth. All about it. To and fro, walking up and down in it. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the Lord says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect man. He's upright. He fears me. And he eschews evil." And Satan says, does he fear you for naught? Look at what you did for him. You put a hedge about him. You put a hedge about his family. You protected him. You gave him all these good things. Of course he's going to fear you. Of course he's going to walk in a good way. Of course he's going to be appreciative of all the things you did. But go ahead and touch him and take away those things that you gave him and you blessed him with, and watch how he curses you to your face. Satan, in his brashness and just being able to speak to God in such a way, hath done this. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." And so Satan went from the presence of the Lord. God gave him lead. And God allows Satan to do these things in the earth. There is suffering in this world. There is tribulations. There are difficulties in this life. And that's one of the greatest challenges of mankind, is to understand, why God? Why this suffering? Why these tribulations? But ours is to have faith in him and to trust in him and glorify him and worship him as Job did here. God allowed Satan to give him power to do what he would with all that Job had. And so Satan took great advantage of that. There was nothing left that Satan didn't do to Job that he was allowed to do. And so there are four messengers that come to Job in succession, one right after the other. Even while the first one was speaking, the second one appears. And while the second one was speaking, the third one appears, and so forth. And a couple of them were events that happened because of man and what man did to Job's possessions here, the Sabians and the Chaldeans. And then the others were fire from heaven and other natural disasters that happened to his family, and the wind that came to the eldest brother's house where they were all eating and drinking. And so it was a great tragedy, a great succession of just bad news that was coming to Job, one right after another. And then it says here that Job arises after he hears this, and he rips his mantle, and he shaves his head, and he falls down upon the ground. And what does he do? Does he curse God? No, that's not what he does. He falls on the ground and he worships God. He worships God. Think of these trials, these great difficulties, all that he had, all that he knew, both his seed, his children, and all the possessions that he had, this great household, all these things that he had, they were all gone, 100%, all gone. And he falls to the ground, and he worships. He worships. This is what made him to be a perfect man, an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He recognized this truth. There was nothing that he did of himself where because of his wiseness and his abilities, his strength and his knowledge and his wisdom, that he was able to amass such a great compound that he owned. But he says, I came into this world naked, and I'm going to go out naked. And he says, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here he is. He just receives this horrible news. A tragedy that we couldn't imagine. When we hear of a tragedy, we think, oh my, that's horrible. But one of these was to a level that we would really be marveling at. But there was four of them, one right after another, telling him these bad news to the greatest levels, to the greatest extent. And he worships the Lord, and he blesses the Lord. That's his response. And he says, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. He knew that he came into this world naked, and he's going to go out naked. He knew that everything he has the Lord gave, and he knew that all this was taken away, and it was of the Lord. And so he worships. He worships. He was constant. He was committed. His faith didn't fail. His trust in the Lord didn't fail. He had a commitment to the Lord. And he kept that commitment. And again, that made him to be perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He did these things. And it says, and then in all of this, Job sinned not. Job didn't sin. In all of this that transpired to him, everything taken away, either by people or by natural disasters. Everything taken away. No more children. He's got nothing to do in the morning. What's he going to wake up to? He doesn't have to feed any cattle. He doesn't have to do any chores. He has nothing. His world is completely upside down. But he worships. But he blesses the Lord. And he recognizes the truth that God gave him everything. And God can rightly take away everything as well. And in all this, Job sinned not. What a beautiful example for our lives, that when tragedy would come, that we would be committed to the Lord, that we would not lose our commitment or our trust in the Lord, but that we would be committed to him. And in all those things that would transpire and happen against us, that we would sin not, but that we would continue to believe in the Lord. The Bible has other examples of those who were faithful to the Lord, committed to the Lord, steadfast, would not change despite what would happen to them. We think of that Queen Esther. She said that, well, it's not right for me to go to the king, but I'm going to go to the king, and you all pray for me, and if I perish, I perish. She was committed to doing what was needed to be done, and whether it fell good for her or whether it didn't fall good for her, she was going to do it. She was committed. If I perish, I perish, she says. We think of Daniel. He knew that a petition was written, that if anyone were to worship any other god save the king for 30 days, that they would be thrown in a den of lions. That didn't move Daniel. He was committed. He was committed. He yet opened the windows toward Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day, as he did aforetime, as he always did. He was in constancy. He was committed to the Lord. He made a commitment to trust the Lord. He made a commitment to have faith in the Lord. And he changed not. And he changed not. And he sinned not, just as Job didn't. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They erected this great idol, and when the music started, everyone was to bow down. And the king was furious when he heard that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't kneel down before that idol that he had erected. And they simply responded to his fury by saying, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. It doesn't matter like what you have to say about this. Our God's going to save us. But if he chooses not to, just know that we're not going to worship any other God but the one true God. They were committed. Evil was going to fall upon them. They knew that they were going to be cast into a fiery furnace if they didn't bow down to this image. But they were committed, and they were constant in their belief and in their trust in the Lord. And they failed not, and they sinned not, but they blessed the Lord, and they worshiped the Lord. And great glory was given unto the Lord because of what they had done. Again, this story of Job is not about Job, it's about the glory of the Lord. The story of Esther, the story of Daniel, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's not about them, it's about the glory of the Lord and the glory that's due unto his name. So there were events that happened to those in the Bible that are recorded about difficult things happening to them, but they were committed. They had a commitment to serve the Lord. Peter, in his epistle, says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." There was a strange thing that happened unto Job. How is it that in one instant, in one moment, these events didn't happen months apart or years apart? If they did, it would still be horrible. But in one moment, all of these tragedies happened to Job, all at the same time. And that was a fiery trial. And here Peter is saying, don't think it strange concerning that fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We will have difficulty in this life. That's for certain. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. There will be things that happen to us that are very difficult to accept in our lives. But again, we look to the example of those in the scriptures and what they did, how they were perfect, how they were upright, how they feared God, and how they eschewed evil. And so we are, in like manner, are not to think it strange concerning a fiery trial which is to try us, as though some strange thing happened unto us. But we are to be true to the Lord. True to the Lord. Never give up. Never give up in our commitment to the Lord. Never give up in our faith in the Lord. Never give up in our trust of the Lord. You know, Job had a second trial, and you know, he had, Satan was allowed then to touch his body, and again, Satan took full advantage of that, and he had boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, and his wife says, "You're going to retain your integrity? Just go ahead and curse God and die." But he responded to her, "You're speaking as one of the foolish women speak. What, shall we not receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." His faith didn't fail. He sinned not. He sinned not. At the end of Job, we read that Job finally comes to the realization of the glory of the Lord, of the glory of the Lord. And in this last chapter of Job, he says, "I know," Job says to the Lord, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." That means that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and that he is omniscient, meaning that he knows all things. So Job says, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." Job was recognizing, "I don't know. I don't know, but God knows. I can't do everything, but God can." And so as fiery trials would come upon us, we are to have to come to that recognition also, that we don't know everything. We have the benefit of knowing the whole story of Job. But Job, when he was going through these things, he didn't know the end. He didn't know what was happening to him. Why were these things happening? Why did he lose everything? Why did he have these boils all over him? Why was this happening? But he sinned not. He committed his trust in the Lord. If the Lord were to slay him, yet would Job trust in him. And so likewise, we are to trust in the Lord. And we are to know and recognize that God knows everything. We don't know the end. Job didn't know his end. When a fiery trial comes our way, we don't know the end. We don't know why God brought this to us. But we know that in the end, when we step back and look at the broad picture, even beyond our lifespan, that God is all-powerful, and God is all-knowing, and God has a great plan. And ours is to commit unto him and to trust in him, not to lose faith, but to live for him. And so we do that by continually praying to the Lord. Even as Job continually offered those burnt offerings, and the Bible says that Job did this continually, that ours is to continually pray, knowing that these fiery trials are coming against us, and they're difficult, not diminishing any difficulty that would come our way, though they may pale in comparison to what Job went through. But we are committed in our prayer to the Lord, that we would take heed to the words that are said, that we would pray unceasingly, and that we would pray continually, that we would have a heart that was like Job, that would be perfect and upright, fearing God and eschewing evil, praying to him often, making a pattern of prayer in our lives as well, just as it was for Daniel, how he had that pattern where he opened the windows of where he was toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. That we would have that pattern of prayer likewise. Because if we don't have time to pray, Satan will see to it that we certainly don't have time to pray. We sing a beautiful hymn that says, "Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord." Speaking with him, trusting in him, allowing that our faith would fail not. James says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We have to understand that truth of that principle of submission. Submission to God. His will be done, not mine. Not mine. I want this, but no, whatever God would have for me, I'm good with that. So we are to submit ourselves unto God. And then we resist the devil just as Job did. He eschewed evil. He feared God. He drew near unto God. He kept God's commandments. And he resisted the devil. And here James is saying to resist the devil. And it says, and he will flee from you. Flee means to move away quickly. And Satan would move away from us quickly when we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. And, you know, if you look through the book of Job, you see Satan's listed there in chapters 1 and 2, but then Satan's not listed anymore in the remaining chapters, all the way through chapter 42. Satan's not listed there. And just as it says here, that Satan will flee from you when you resist the devil, and Job resisted the devil, and the devil never came back to Job. It is important that in our lives, that when we make a commitment to serve the Lord, that we fulfill that commitment in serving the Lord. There will be difficulties. There will be times when perhaps we experience rejection. Rejection, and it's such a difficult thing to go through rejection. Whether it's on any level, whether it's a marriage proposal that doesn't go through, there's a rejection there. Perhaps there's people in the church that would want to reject us. Perhaps there's things in our lives that just simply didn't go according to the plan that we thought it should go. And so there are difficulties in our lives that Satan would want to say, well, just go ahead and give up. There's no reason to continue on. Just give up. But Jesus says that no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We are to be committed to the Lord. And when fiery trials come our way, we are yet to be committed unto the Lord. We are not to sin in turning away from the Lord or falling into doubt and unbelief, but we are to be true to him. Hebrews says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." If we lack that commitment and we depart from the living God, woe unto us. Woe unto us. So the Bible is saying here, take heed. Take heed, brethren, those of you that believe in the Lord, lest there be in you an evil heart. An evil heart of what? An evil heart of what? Of unbelief. This is the evil heart, that one that has unbelief. Job could have fallen into unbelief, but he didn't. He maintained his faith in God. He knew what was true. He knew that he came into this world naked and that he would go out naked. He knew that the blessed be the Lord because of all the things that he gave, and blessed be the Lord when the Lord would take everything away. And so we are being exhorted here that we would not have an evil heart of unbelief. And what that unbelief does is it takes us away from the living God. Last Sunday afternoon, we read 2 Peter chapter 3. And it says, we read here a verse that says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Job didn't have much support as he was going through this, from his friends, from his wife. But here we see the scripture saying, don't be led away from the error of the wicked, and you fall from your own commitment, from your own steadfastness, from the faith that, and that trust that you have in your heart. Don't fall away from that. Don't fall away from that. But be true. And then there's the fearful thought that if we lose our commitment unto the Lord, if we lose our faith and our trust in the Lord, that there are repercussions for that that are severe. Peter also says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled again therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better that they had not known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." This is a stern warning that we are not to lose our commitment unto the Lord. The Bible says that it is better not to vow than to vow and not pay. We have come to escape the pollutions of this world. If you think of a pond or a body of water that's absolutely polluted with chemicals and refuse of every kind, we've been escaped from that. We were pulled out of that. We were brought into God's marvelous light. And we are now being warned here and exhorted that we should not go back to those things that we have been delivered from. Just one last warning on this because of its importance. Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. Shall we lose faith because things didn't go our way? Shall we lose faith because we've been rejected? Shall we lose faith because we were thinking about ourselves? And it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. Shall we lose faith? Shall we turn away from the Lord? You know, there was that group of 5,000, I believe, that were fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, after they were fed, would tell them that you need to partake and eat of my flesh if you want to live in that eternally. And they just couldn't get what he was saying. They didn't understand. And so after a time, they walked away. They didn't believe. They just walked away. And so Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, are you also going to walk away? Are you also going to walk away? Are you also going to lose your commitment unto the Lord? Are you also going to lose your faith? Are you also going to lose your trust in the Lord? And Peter responded by saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The story of Job is not about Job. It's about the glory of the Lord and who he is, how he is omnipotent, how he is from everlasting to everlasting, how he is omniscient, how he knows everything, everything. There's nothing that is hid with God. He knows everything. It's about the glory of the Lord. It wasn't about Job. It was about the glory of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's not about us. It's about the glory of the Lord. We are to glorify the Lord. We don't know the end of our lives. We don't know what the Lord has ultimately in plan for our lives. But we are to glorify him. We are to fall on our faces when those fiery trials come and give him the glory. We are to worship him. We are to bless his name. We are not to sin and falling into a manner of unbelief. But we are to trust in him, and we are to live for him and bless his name, for he is worthy. Amen.